If you'd like to open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to be expounding that chapter this afternoon. And what we will see is also the work of the Holy Spirit in that chapter. But as born-again Christians, we believe that it was foreordained by God that he sent his son into this world the first time to give his life a ransom for many. And the same God has also foreordained that his son shall come a second time back to this very earth. Now Acts 1:11 tells us, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now, as the Holy Spirit is at work in this world, we have a lot of sermons on the second coming of the Lord. But for many, it hasn't dawned upon them that his second coming is imminent. Yes. That's right. People are not caught up with the fact that it could be today. Many believe, so much has got to go on yet. The Lord's not coming. Well, didn't the Lord say when people said that's when he's going to turn up? That's when he's going to come. If anybody ever discourages you and try and say, "No, listen, it's not going to happen just yet," just say to them, "Thank you very much, but I'm going to praise my God because I believe he's going to come right now." Now, is that the joy of our life? The joy of our heart, that at any moment our great God and Savior could take us out of this world, rapture us out. And for many, it hasn't dawned upon them how imminent the second coming of the Lord is. They tend to believe there's plenty of time, and they don't understand, or they don't really want to acknowledge that his coming could be immediate. And I'm talking for his coming for the church. And then there will only be 7 short years left before he comes back to this earth. People, we don't realize how short the time is. And there's soul after soul out there. Every second that clock ticks falls into the pits of hell. And we just don't realize that the Lord could come right now. We should be praying that the imminent return of our Lord would grip our souls, grip our spirits, that we'd be looking for him. Remember Elijah in 2 Kings 2, his face was turned to heaven and he was seeking a double portion. And we should be that way too, looking for the soon coming of our Lord. We should be fervently watching, expecting the second coming of Christ. You know, we are to, while we're waiting, we are to work, we are to watch, and we are to wait. Do you know that they're all verbs? We know verbs are doing words. Waiting is not just sitting down going, "Oh, one day." Waiting is a doing word. We get busy. There's souls to be saved. People need to hear the gospel. Because the Lord said in Matthew 24:44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." You know what I've noticed in witnessing and in outreach and that, just in the media, the world doesn't think much of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there was a time when the world used to scoff at that truth when it was preached. But I put it to you today that the world is now so far removed from God, it won't even acknowledge there is a God, let alone the soon return of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 tells us, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now, there's never been a time, nor has there ever been a generation that has heard so much about peace talks. And we should be aware of that. Now, I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom in any way. I'm also not a pessimist. I'm a Bible-believing Christian who believes that the Bible says the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming again. And it is sooner than this world believes. It's sooner than this world thinks. And sadly, and this is sad, it's sooner than many Christians believe as well. And I say that because of the way they are living their lives in the light of the Lord's return. They live as though he's never coming back. Now, people would have to be naive, especially at this time, to expect there to be peace in the Middle East. All the world is looking for this peace. Just a few weeks ago, they said, oh, there's going to be a ceasefire. It might have seemed like that to some people, but it hasn't happened. It just keeps starting over and over again. And if any of the world leaders were premillennial Bible believers, they would see the waste of time of trying to bring peace to the Middle East. People might not like to hear that, but that's the truth. That's what real preachers are preaching. We're not a part of a peace corps. We aren't politicians. Real preachers are to preach the only truth in this world, and that truth is the Word of God. Amen. And what it says. Now, not all theology is prophecy, but prophecy is a part of theology. And that's the truth. Jesus is coming again. This world is waxing worse and worse. This world is ignorant. And it is also the ignorant believer who is not looking for the imminent, and I say the imminent, return of Christ. Now, there has been no peace between the Arab nations and Israel since Abraham sent Hagar out into the wilderness. And there will be no peace on this earth until the Lord reigns from the throne of David in Jerusalem. And the best and brightest day for God's people is ahead of us, just ahead of us, with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when he comes back to this earth bodily, lions won't be eating lambs, they'll be laying down with them. There'll be no reason for children to be scared of snakes because they'll just play around with them. Not in that time there won't be. Think about no more poverty. I know we have a few doctors here. You might be out of work in that time, amen. Get a bit of rest. But before all of that, there will be a terrible war when Gog and Magog come, and there will be a terrible happenings on this earth. Praise God, the church is not involved in that. Now, most of us have seen wars on TV or in the media. We see the devastation caused by those wars. But there is a battle coming that make those look like a holiday camp. The Battle of Armageddon. Now, today, we live by faith, and if faith is not genuine, then the trials and the persecutions, the heartaches and the heartbreaks, the warfare from the underworld, I'm not talking about the real world, I'm talking the underworld, is going to try and destroy and rob you of the faith that you have. But if the faith you walk in is the faith that was once delivered to the saints, persecution in your life is going to do one thing alone, strengthen you. It's just like when a storm blows against a giant oak tree. I know a lot of you is in the tropics. Who's never seen an oak tree? There you go. Oak trees are massive. You get some, I've seen some over 140 years old. They're massive. And the more the storm blows against them, the stronger they get. The roots go down further into the ground every time they're in a big storm. And that's how we are if our faith is strong. When the tempest seems to be overflowing us and we stand firm, the roots of our faith go deeper and deeper, and we have a firm grip on our lives amongst the storm. Now, if you got your Bibles there at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see Paul there says, "Now we beseech you, brethren," so he's talking to the church, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Now we're going to expound this chapter, okay? These two things happen at the same time. Jesus comes again, we are gathered unto him. That's the rapture. Now the Greek reads, "on behalf of the coming." Now, "on behalf" means in the interest of, not with reference to, but in the interest of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is resurrected. He is coming again for his saints. And Paul says, "We beseech you that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, a lot of people like to say, here the Bible's got an error in it, that there's a mistake in the Bible concerning the day of Christ. They like to say, well, someone's made a mistake with the translation. It should read the day of the Lord. Now the word Christ here, as I studied this, and I agree, it's the day of the Lord. The word Christ means Messiah, anointed one. And the word Lord, out of the 660 times it's mentioned, 656 of those times, the word is Kyrios, and it means supreme in authority or God. It means master. The other four times, it means rabbi, which is Lord, master, or absolute ruler. It means to one other time, curio, it means to have dominion. In other words, talking about Jehovah or Jesus. You see, Jesus is Lord and he is Christ. And what I'm getting at here is that the word day in God's word also refers to events, not just time. And failing to understand that, many have thought that the day of the Lord and the day of Christ must be two different periods of time, and that's why they think this is a mistake written in here. It should read the day of the Lord instead of the day of Christ. Whereas each of these days actually represent an event, not necessarily separate periods of time. You see, when Christ comes to rapture the church out, when he comes for his bride to take us out of this world, that's the first stage of his second coming. He comes in the clouds. He doesn't come to the earth. That's the day of Christ. Why? Because the day of Christ in scriptures is referred to rewards. Each and every one of us here today who are born again are going to receive something from God at the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, I'll encourage you. We will receive exactly what we deserve. Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And that will just go up in smoke, that last lot, but we're still saved. What a gracious God we have, amen? What a gracious and merciful God we have. But we will get exactly what we deserve. And the day we're raptured out, the day of Christ, is exactly when we're taken out, the 7-year period of tribulation starts. And that's the day of the Lord, which is always a day of judgment. So there's no mistake in our translation. The day of Christ or the day of the Lord, they're two different events, but they happen at the same time. Paul didn't get it wrong. He didn't get it wrong. Look, 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, "Who also shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Christ is related to both days. Why? Because he's the Lord. No mistranslation, no mistake. Acts 2:36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both" what? Tell me. "Lord and Christ." No mistake in the Bible. And that's why we need to be careful. Well, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 tells us, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We need to be careful about the truth of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be very aware of what the Bible teaches scripturally, unless we get caught up in some mid-tribulation or post-tribulation, pre-wrath, imagination. That's about the best word I can give it. They're imaginations. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches the church will be caught out and safe. We won't go through any part of the tribulation at all. And Paul says that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Except, that's first of all, and secondly, except the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who's that son of perdition? He's the son of hell, the son of the devil. And those two things must come to pass before the day of the Lord and the second coming to this earth of our Saviour. Now, the falling away first. Now, the word falling away means apostasy. Some say that's the rapture. They say the falling away is when Jesus takes his church to meet him in the clouds. I don't know how they get that as a falling away. I'd say we're being caught up, amen. Apostasy in the Bible is always related to religion. And by religion, I mean organized religion. And a falling away from the faith once delivered unto the saints of God. And we live in a day where that's starting to be fulfilled. And it will continue to be fulfilled until the Lord comes again. Now, if we think every church is a good church, then we are deluded. Because many churches who deny the virgin birth, they deny the shed blood, they deny the scriptures are inspired of God, the very word of God. And brothers and sisters, that's apostasy. And when men and women have no convictions, no doctrine, where they stand for nothing, that is apostasy. Now, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "If a man stands for nothing, he's going to fall for everything." Isn't that a good one? And we're to build the church upon doctrine. But you understand something, in our day, that's a no-no. We don't want to hear doctrine anymore, the world says. Doctrine's placed too many limits on my Christianity. They want grace to abound so their sin can abound. But Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. He also told us, "The truth shall make you free." See, people don't want doctrine. They want a license to sin. And many today say, and listen, don't get me wrong, so let's put your antennas on, that love is God. That's apostasy. That is idolatry. That is not doctrine. God is love. Amen. Not love is God. But God is also grace. God is also mercy. God is also judgment. And God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is love. That's one of his attributes. But love is not God. We all clear on that? Amen. And anyone who denies the truth of the word of God denies the second coming. They deny hell. They deny there's a devil. And they are apostate. They deny, whoever denies the premillennial coming of Christ is apostate. Amen. The day of falling away, brothers and sisters, has come. Secondly, the son of perdition. You know, at the same time as the resurrection of the dead in Christ and those of us who are still alive are caught out, that's the rapture, is the revelation of the Antichrist. Some say a bit before, some say a soon later. All I know is the Bible says when I'm raptured out, the Antichrist comes into this world. Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night. And when he comes and we're taken out, the man of sin will be revealed. Now we read about this man of sin in verse 4 of our text. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. That's the satanic incarnation of the devil. Showing and declaring that he is God. Demanding the worship of the people. He has been set up. He has been groomed. And he has been prepared by the devil. And the man of sin will be the devil's masterpiece that comes into this world the moment the church is gone, and he's going to fool millions of people will fall for him. And Paul says, look in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul had warned them. He had told them. Paul preached the second coming, premillennial, pre-tribulation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, don't be fooled by any other preaching. Do you know, your people today, when they're not grounded in the truths of doctrine, they're on their phones in all this YouTube business, and they're hearing everything. Millions and millions of sermons with no truth in them at all. None at all. And the spirit of lawlessness is already working. And he says in verse 6 and 7, first of all, he says, don't be fooled by other preaching. And he says, now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. See, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. Paul's reminded them about the final struggle between the powers of God and the powers of the devil just before the coming of the Lord Jesus. You know, they also knew what withholdeth. They see a power that restraineth, and that wicked one's not going to be revealed until that power is gone, and he will be revealed at his appointed time. Now, the Greek word for letteth in verse 7, that's a masculine verb, so a masculine pronoun. So what it's doing, it is pointing to a person, not a thing. You see, the Holy Spirit wasn't only with these people, he was dwelling within them. And the Holy Spirit leads believers. The Holy Spirit restrains the forces of the underworld at this time. But when the church is taken out, the Holy Spirit's going to go with the church. And the world then will be at the mercy of the devil. Now the Bible gives us a good warning. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because there will be a day it's too late if you're not saved. You know, there will be no more restraining power The world will be at the mercy of the devil. Evil will cover this earth. And this mystery of iniquity is already at work. It's been at work since Lucifer rebelled against God in heaven and he was cast out. And the spirit of lawlessness is already working. And the man of sin will be revealed after the church is taken out. And the only reason the man of sin hasn't already taken over is because he who now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is still in this world. That's the restraining power of God. Brothers and sisters, that's the power of God at work in the believer. He is as real as the Son. He is as real as the Father. And as long as the Holy Spirit remains in this earth, the counterfeit Christ cannot and will not be unveiled. He cannot take over the government. He cannot take over religion on earth. But when the true church is gone, the Holy Spirit will be gone and the man of sin will reign in terror. But not until the church is safely seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb in glory with the Lord Jesus. What a day that's going to be for us. Listen, if anyone, any preacher or teacher, anyone tries to tell you the church is going to go through any part of the tribulation, go the other way. Don't listen to them. We are told clearly in Scripture, Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which cometh upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And verse 8 tells us in our text, then the wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, once again, only when the Holy Spirit is taken out, when the church is gone, the lawless one will be revealed. Isn't it good that if nothing can happen to the believer, we are safe, we are secure, and we will see the glory of God. We will be in heaven, and we will see the Lamb of God who is the light of that glory. Amen. That's what we will see. And when that wicked be revealed, and that's not talking about an influence or a spirit, it's talking about when it's an overpowering monster in a body appears, the Antichrist, the king of fierce countenance, the man of sin, the very devil in flesh, he will be revealed. And that word revealed means to take the cover off. So now we understand that first 3.5 years, he's going to bring a sense of peace to the world, but bang, right in the middle, the cover will be off. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You know, for us, for our encouragement, we need to understand Jesus destroyed the power of the devil the day he came out of that tomb. The devil can threaten a believer. He can torment the believer. He can tease the believer. But he cannot have me and he cannot have you. I belong to the Lord. Can you say that? Say it for me.
I belong.
Amen. I don't have to throw anyone out, you see. I belong to the Lord. He is a defeated foe, the devil. He can intimidate all he likes, but we do not have to be afraid of him because the Lord defeated him. And when the Lord returns, now the Lord's not going to need an army. The Lord's not going to need an air force. The Lord's not going to need a navy. He will not need bombs. He will not need missiles. All he's going to do is speak the word, and the wicked one will be consumed with the spirit of his mouth. What power? You know, we have that same power. The Spirit of God is within us to live for his glory until that day we're taken out. It makes me feel I just want to go home and pack my bags and get ready for heaven. Amen. That's what we want to do. Now, Isaiah 11:4 reminds us, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. I like the way the psalmist put it in Psalm 46:6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. What a verse. And on the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes to execute righteous judgment upon all the earth, there will be great men. People think these Elon Musks and all these other sort of leaders today, these great men, there will be kings, there will be queens, there will be rich and poor, free and slaves, who will be calling for the very rocks of the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the Lord's face. Revelation 6:16. And verse 17 tells us, for the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? We will be standing with him. What a day. And the last part of 2 Thessalonians 2:8, destroy with the brightness of his coming. You know, the wicked one and those on earth, by a superhuman divine appearance, the blazing brightness of the Lord. We looked at the glory of God in our Bible studies a few weeks ago. We see now when the rain comes, we see colours and that through the raindrops when the sun hits it. That's flawed. We're still under the curse in this world. Can you imagine the glory of the Lord when we see all the color be pure and perfect? And when he comes in that brightness, he's going to consume and wipe out the Antichrist and all his followers. Now, this is going to primarily be poured out on Israel, but every corner of this earth will be affected. And it seems to me today that the devil's loved by the masses. They revel, they enjoy the lust and the sin that's in this world. And the average person doesn't want to know much about God's timetable, and it is sad to say, neither do many believers. And since the world enjoys, since the world craves the devil, Jesus is going to come and take his children out of this world. And this and man will be turned over to the devil. Praise God, the Holy Spirit lives within the believer, that we have been sealed and we are safe and we are secure until the day of redemption when we are taken out. We will not be here when the devil reigns. And I remember once, have you ever wondered why there's only two thrones in heaven when we have a Trinity? Well, the promise of the Bible is the Holy Spirit abides in the believer for how long? Forever. That's where he is. Verse 9 tells us, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. So notice we have two comings there. Verse 8 is the Lord. Verse 9, the Antichrist, but both speak of the wicked one being revealed whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now, if anyone needs to be convinced about the power of Satan, we've only got to go to our Bibles again, because the Word of God shows us very clearly. You look at the miracles the magicians of Egypt did when Moses was at work there during the plagues. And we should never try to play down the power of Satan. And I'll tell you, he is at work mightily today. And today's church rings very true with the Lord's words, his own words. Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And that's exactly what the church is trying to show people today. And the world will see the devil's signs and wonders. Revelation 13:13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's the power of the devil. He will perform miracles. He has already performed them and been performing them for many years. Back in our text, 2 Thessalonians verses 10 to 12, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now in verse 11 there, where it says believe a lie, in the original language it is believe the lie. Now if Jesus is the truth, then who's the lie? The devil. That's what they're going to believe. And all these people today under the word of God be preached to them who are not saved. When the church is raptured out, people like to show that, oh, they'll recognize they should have been saved. No, they won't. They're going to fall for the lie of the devil. They're condemned. It'll be a terrible time. But the believer will not be there when the Holy Spirit's taken out, because we're taken out with him. The next great event in store for this world isn't the Olympics like we've just had. Isn't some world trade fair. It is the rapture of the church, and immediately following that, for those left on the earth, the appearance of the Antichrist. One day, brothers and sisters, the trump will sound, the voice of the archangel will ring, but only those born again will hear them. And they will be raptured out of the world and forever be with the Lord. Verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. How refreshing to go from the horrible description of the man of sin and those who will be damned because of him to the faithful believers who are sealed by the Spirit. How thankful we should be that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In the last two verses. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Brothers and sisters, we live with an everlasting hope, filled with the Spirit, ministered to by the Spirit, having the joy unspeakable, full of glory of the Spirit, looking forward to the day of his appearing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful hope that we have. Lord, forgive us if we have not lived truly in the light of your soon coming. But help us grab a hold of what is ahead for us, Lord, and just look at it's going to happen tomorrow, Lord. That we live in that expectant hope that you're going to knock on the door and we will be caught up to be safely with you forever and ever. Father, we have a message to give to the world. Give us courage, give us strength to reach out to the lost, because the day is soon coming where it will be too late for many. Father, we thank you for those who preach the gospel to us. Give us the grace to preach it to others. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.